And first, though, let's take a punt on Dunt. Always a pleasure to talk to Ian, the editor of politics.co.uk. And Ian is with us tonight instead of his regular Thursday spot for reasons not entirely unrelated to the US midterms. Ian, I feel a bit like Alice down the rabbit hole. On the one hand, Mother Teresa is at a critical point in her Brexit negotiations. She's pulling away from the EU. And on the other, she's standing firm with the EU, flying in the face of US sanctions on Iran.
It's almost as if we've decided to leave a democratic institution that's been very good for us on our own doorstep and throw our arms open to an extremely unstable US president. So at the moment, Donald Trump is now pushing ahead with his latest round of sanctions towards Iran. Now, this is opposed by almost everyone in Europe, really. The argument in Europe was, look, if you don't show these guys some economic benefit to working with you, they lose all incentive to doing so. And we go back to the days before the last sort of deal where Iran actually finds other ways of behaving. Now, Trump is, you know, as usual, completely sort of opaque and not open to listening to any of these arguments. So he's pushed ahead with these sanctions. Now, these sanctions could potentially apply to countries that are trading with Iran, which puts countries like Germany, like France, and like the UK in a very difficult position. They've held a very firm, united front on this. But it has to be said, it's not really clear what they can do to stop him. They're talking about setting up something called a special purpose vehicle, an SPV, which is a sort of financial mechanism that should allow their firms to get around the American restrictions on Iran. They have to do that. I mean, they've been encouraging British firms, German firms, French firms to do these deals for a long time, and to suddenly have them cut down now seems like it would go against years of sort of government advice and against their own policy. But it's not really clear how effective that's going to be, and it looks like they've got themselves, frankly, probably on the losing end of this thing, and America will get its way.
Enlighten me, please, Ian. Who or what is Aaron Banks, and why could evidence in a criminal investigation against him be a battering ram on Brexit?
He's a sort of Brexit troll, really. He's really quite extraordinarily unpleasant person. He was a donor, in fact, he's the largest donor in British political history, a donor to the pro-Brexit side during the referendum. The way that he's an extremely rich individual, you know, sort of belies the nonsense talk about, oh, it's just the liberal elites pushing for Remain. Actually, the guys pushing for Brexit have been extremely wealthy. He has a pretty unpleasant manner to him as well. He's sort of in the Trump mold. So, I mean, you know, anytime he's questioned, he just says, well, look, this is a conspiracy by the media, or this is a conspiracy by liberals in order to undermine the will of the people. You've heard this kind of populist rhetoric before, and it's pretty much entirely the language he trades in. For years, mostly because of Carol Cutwaller at The Guardian, a very good investigative journalist who's had an awful lot of abuse thrown at her for this constant daily trolling from all and sundry, questioning her sanity, questioning her values and her judgment, and has been proved over and over again to be completely correct in the kind of financial detail she's been digging up, has been looking at some pretty murky financial dealings going on with him, going into the donations that he then made to the Leave campaign. Now, there are plenty of other allegations against him. There's some allegations that concern Russia, again, in that sort of Trumpist mold. This has now been referred to a special investigations unit for sort of fraudulent for financial crimes. Now, that's pretty serious business for him. It also has triggered another round of people going, well, you know, is this referendum result even valid? You know, it seems to have been bought with, frankly, illegal money, with illegal campaign money. Now, politically, there's nowhere near a sort of center of gravity to say, well, you're just going to call the whole thing off. But it just sort of, again, taints the validity, the credibility of the result and how it was obtained.
He's accused of having had multiple meetings with Russians, and that can't have been so difficult to arrange, given that a new report from a conservative think tank reckons half the Russians living in London are Kremlin spies.
Yeah, pinch of salt on this one. So this is the Henry Jackson Society, which is this sort of neocon security think tank. It's got some really good people working there. You know, you go for meetings with some of them. They've got some really smart military strategists. But the thing is that the culture of the place is very, very neocon. So you need to take all of it with a pinch of salt. You know, item number one in taking things with a pinch of salt is the idea that half of the Russians you meet in London are spies. I really do not think they are. And actually, I have to say, when you have a couple of Russian friends, especially people who are in sort of journalism and around Westminster, they constantly face this sort of slur, really, of these sort of whispers around them. You know, bog standard normal Russians coming over being told, well, maybe they're a spy, basically because of their accent. It is a kind of prejudice. There is certainly a very strong, you know, attempt by Putin to try and sort of insist on his intelligence base in the UK. And we've certainly seen what Putin is trying to do in the UK. But I think the numbers here are pretty far out.
Sir Richard Dearlove, beautiful name, former MI6 chief, welcomed the report, which, quote, forcefully reminds us that Russian intelligence activity in the West is large scale and intrusive.
Yeah, I mean, that part is true. And, you know, most of the stuff that we look at really is stuff that happens online. And that's where Russia really is very, very effective. And it's extremely effective, of course, at this game of making us question reality ourselves. You know, that starts with what they did with the little green men in Crimea. These guys come out in military uniforms. It looks like a Russian uniform, but they're not really wearing Russian insignia. And you think, well, who are they? Is this a Russian invasion or isn't it? And ultimately, it was a de facto Russian invasion. But you could never be sure of what was true until it was too late. And that's pretty much exactly what we see Russia do online. So there's no point underestimating the Russian intelligence infrastructure. Obviously, they have spies in London. It would be absurd to think that they didn't. It's just that it would be helpful if we need to sort of keep our wits about us, I think, when we think about just how many spies there might be in London, so we don't become sort of hysterical and start dealing in the kind of myth-making that Russia would like to propagate itself.
Though I'm sure I wouldn't pass any of the medicals, I'm a bit concerned that I might be getting call-up papers for the British Army.
Philip, you can join. Would you like to risk your life for a post-imperial power in decline? So the Commonwealth countries are now having the door thrown open to them to join the British Army because we are short of troops. We're short quite badly by about 8,200. There's a rule that was passed a couple of years ago saying Commonwealth sort of soldiers Commonwealth citizens can come fight for the UK armed forces. We'll allow about 200 in without having done the 5-year residence in the UK requirement that you would normally have. That requirement has now been dropped. With a hope that we can bring in about 1,350 extra to sort of try and plug the gap. I have to say, I mean, people from Commonwealth countries, especially Commonwealth countries that aren't sort of, you know, white, English-speaking, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, etc., should be quite concerned, I think, because the way that Britain has treated its Commonwealth citizens over the last few years, we look at the hostile environment, we look at Caribbean people, especially people from Jamaica, deported after being here for 50 years because they didn't have papers, even though they were here on a legal basis. They would be fair to actually be rather concerned about the status that they would have when they were here, and I hope that the ones that do come make sure they get those papers to protect them against the Home Office.
I'll see you at the recruitment centre, Ian Dunt, editor of the blog politics.co.uk.